body says no.
I'm not guilty, mate. I'm not guilty.
And I'm no doctor, but this
you'll do our lookalike gigs.
When I got booted out of Yorkshire because I signed a load of numpties, big deal.
If I hadn't married Nat, I'd marry Chris.
Hello and welcome to Under the Lid, the pro cricket show with me, Jack Brooks.
And me, Catherine Sibber Brunt. Well, we're back. What a week it's been. It's all been going on, hasn't it? We've had tons of domestic cricket, both men and women's. We've finally had the squad announced for the England Men's T20 World Cup. And it's been flooding, but also the sun's been out, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think a lot of county cricketers have been swapping snoods, gloves, beanies for sun cream, sunglasses. And they've actually managed to get the first month of the season out of the way. A few results flying around. But one thing is, I haven't missed playing so far, Brunty. I don't know about you.
No, never want to play ever again. The body says no.
Oh. Having said that, I probably would have taken it than the Sunday I had when I spent 7 hours in A&E with my little one. So world's longest weekend. I don't know how yours was, but yeah, that kind of hit a bit of a downer for me. But nothing serious now, just a bit of a fever for the baby.
It feels like that's something that all parents are doomed to have, isn't it? With my, I've got plenty of nieces and nephews, and my brothers and sisters always seem to be in A&E every other weekend with something, some sort of baby ailment. It seems to be the way. So I feel for you, Jack. But I'm glad all is well.
No, it's all good. It's just parenting, isn't it? It's just relentless. It's good fun. It's all good fun. Much more good than bad. So, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
I've been up to plenty, actually, even though it's still time off and I'm supposed to be doing not much and it's meant to be boring in your time off, as per usual. I've still managed to build a shed. So I had the friends round on the weekend, co-worked them in with champagne and IPAs, etc. fed them well. We all built a shed together. It took 6.5 hours. Unbelievable scenes. So shout out to Amy Jones, Beth Langston, Piper Cleary, because many hands maketh, lighteth, worketh. So
strong team you built there. Yeah. 6.5 hours. That's similar to a day of championship cricket.
I know. Honestly, I think they could have helped me out with the complicated manual. So that was interesting, but that's done now. Fantastic. I got my garage back, which I wanted to make into a gym badly. So that's coming. That's on the way. Also picked up my new car. Obviously told you I was getting a new car. It's arrived.
Yes, you have.
Driving around.
Ferrari. That,
so, yep, the Ferrari OVS. And then I've got a cold. I woke up with a cold. So I'm not really sure how, you know, now that the weather's turning nicely. Maybe it's the last bit before, you know, 4 months of beautiful sunshine. So, yeah. And I also went to a Chance to Shine dinner at Lord's, actually.
Oh, nice.
There was one in there. Maybe I've been drinking too much and this is...
I was going to say, it's probably fresh as flu type. Or is it just the fact you haven't had an IPA for 2 days and your body's like, well, I want one.
It's a true story. And what about you? Have you had any fun at all? Or just really, you know... Tired
always and... having fun, mate. I was working for 3 days last week down at Billericay. I'm not sure if you've been to Billericay Cricket Club before, but I was with the SACA, the South Asian Cricket Association, their team, because they play second teams all summer. And we can play a combined game against Kent and Essex. Obviously, Essex were the home team.
Nice.
But there were 6 players from Kent, 6 from Essex, to give us a game. And it was weather interrupted through bad light and rain. And
shock.
It was very cold and windy. Yeah, it wasn't ideal for that. There were some good performances from a few of the boys. It would be nice to get a bit more cricket in, but good for the lads. And it was obviously a good coaching experience for me.
Yeah.
And then I came back late Thursday night and then a bit of private work on Friday, family time Saturday, and then obviously hospital on Sunday. So a bit of everything. But I also, Sunday morning, I was supposed to be playing Oxfordshire this Sunday. So obviously I ended up swapping cricket for A&E, but it was actually rained off anyway. So I was playing at Wormsley for Oxfordshire in the minor counties or the national counties. But it got rained off before I even got to Wormsley.
Wormsley's such a beautiful ground, isn't it?
It's picturesque. Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm. I don't know if anyone of our listeners have been there or got any Wormsley stories for us, but it's one of the most beautiful picturesque grounds in the country.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've been.
It's only actually about 20 minutes from where I grew up, so it's cool.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to play there a couple of times. And I think the women played a domestic game there this week, if I'm not wrong.
Sparks play a few games there.
Yeah, nice.
I know that Wormsley are trying to link up with a few more as well, but
yeah, so they should. What's going on. Lush. Anyway, while we've been moaning about our normal life, we've got a guest coming on who has been taking polls for Warwickshire on the regular. And I believe it's somebody who you inadvertently booted out of Yorkshire, but we'll get onto that in a minute. And we're obviously looking forward always every week to going under lid with our guest and chatting all professional cricket. But we'll do that in a moment. For the meantime, we do love your feedback. I don't think we ever get enough, do we, Jack? We really want more. So I keep asking, I'm just keep badgering you for it. And it's the normal social, hashtag under the lid.
It's all your mates, isn't it?
It is. Well, I try and that's why it's stopped now, because they've had enough. So they've stopped coming in. and email is hello@underthelid.co.uk.
Yeah, keep hashtagging. It's hashtag under the lid. Get them in. And of course, this podcast is brought to you in partnership with the PCA and the Cricketer magazine, whose outstanding coverage of domestic cricket online has been recognised for 6 years in a row at the ECB Domestic Journalism Awards. So this isn't just some random thing put together. We do have a lot of professional people in the background helping two idiots out with what we do.
Right. Well, let's get the guest on. It's common knowledge that you knocked our guest out of Headingley and booted them all the way down to Edgbaston. You know.
Well, it depends. Yeah, it's always two sides to every story. I'm sure he'll spin it up a little bit. Mm. I was a bit gutted, actually, because he would be, through my career and getting to know him, he'd be someone that I'd love to have shared a change room and a team with. I'm not just saying that because he's here. He's a great man. Very funny, very entertaining, and obviously a very good cricketer. I'd love to hear his point of view of what happened when I joined Yorkshire and he left not long after. But yeah, he's a fantastic man.
Well, we do love having bowlers on, don't we, Jack? And we've got an absolute belter of a bowler on this week. I mean, the fact there's a Yorkshireman's excites me already. And he's got 517 professional wickets. He's a county championship winner, T20 Blast winner. He's now a Bear, unfortunately. Maybe we can make him a Yorkie again. But yeah, let's get under the lid. Welcome.
Hello, Oliver Hannan Dolby.
What a mouthful. Oh,
thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it really is. That, honestly, over the phone to car insurance companies, try spelling that out to someone, you know, get some new insurance, saying Oliver Hannan Dolby over and over again is a bit of a nightmare. Thanks for that lovely introduction.
Oh, no worries. I'll leave it up to your imagination, but you can imagine me doing car insurance this week with my surname.
Exactly. You know exactly what I mean. And it's not a nice thing to spell out. Whereas Brooks, geez, you'd do well to
straightforward, very common, simple person, aren't I? You two are pretentious with your double barrel names.
Exactly. And when they ask what your email address is, and you have to start spelling out.
I just spell it now. I just spell it, but I do it, you know, with the police lingo or whatever it is. Sierra Bravo and all that.
Yeah, but the problem with that is when you start saying Hannan and then you forget every word in the world beginning with H. You say H for helipad.
Christ.
Ollie, let's get it out of the way because people will be dying to know about that little build-up there. Obviously, I joined Yorkshire in the winter of 2012 as a bowler. Been at Northants for a few years, looked to come up north, join a good strong squad of bowlers. And then we did a few gym sessions together. We had a good social out at All Bar One in Leeds, a few drinking games. Yeah. Then I turned up the next Monday morning and all you hear is, oh, Ollie's gone out to Warwickshire on loan for the season. I'm like, oh, great.
Well, I mean, I didn't know this, but apparently during a lot of those gym sessions, I did see you speaking to Dizzy. But apparently you were saying, oh, he's no good, weren't you? Like, you need to get rid of Hannan Dolby.
No, what's he still doing here?
Is that true?
Not guilty, mate. Not guilty.
No room to spare.
No, listen, totally honestly, I was probably not bowled great the year before. We'd signed you, we'd signed Liam Plunkett. like rain outside, but I'm mowing ash. But we had a great bowling squad, and I was probably not bowling very well. And the club were very honest with me. Dizzy was honest with me. And Martin Moxborough was honest and said, "You're not going to play any cricket. So if you want to go try play somewhere else, you're more than welcome." And luckily, Graham Welsh down at Warwickshire and Dougie Brown and Warwickshire sort of fancied a look at me. So made the trip down the M5. And I've been here 11 years now. Still not quite got the Brummy accent, no. I don't think. I've been here 11 years. So, yeah, I'm very, very lucky to have played at two great clubs. You know, Yorkshire's a fantastic cricket club, but yeah, loving my time here at Warwickshire and hopefully got a few more years left in me.
Yeah, that Halifax twang, mate, you can't shake that off that quickly, can you? You've obviously had a fantastic career. It's worked out perfectly for you. It's never easy, though, to leave your home, is it, and sort of uproot and... I guess you had probably a tricky decision to make and you weren't too sure where it was going to go. But looking back now, mate, best decision you ever made, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it's sort of devastating. You go through the system at Yorkshire, you think you're going to be a Yorkshire player for, you know, 10, 20 years, and it just didn't work out that way. And, yeah, saying moving to Birmingham, it feels hundreds of thousands of miles away. But at the end, it's 2 hours down the M5. If anything ever happens back home to my family in Halifax, it's 2 hour drive away. So yeah, looking back now, one of the best things I ever did. I probably played a lot more cricket at Warwickshire than I probably would have done at Yorkshire, given the bowlers I mentioned there. Been very lucky, playing in some good sides, won a few trophies as well. So yeah, it's worked out all right in the end.
Is it still strange though to play against Yorkshire as a Yorkshireman, or is it completely gone now with that?
No, it gets a lot easier. The strangest bit is when you first move and you've got all your new mates in your new changing room and all your old mates in your old changing room, and you don't want to be rude to your old mates, then you also don't want to be seen being too pally to them, to your new teammates, if you know what I mean. So that's the hardest, the first few years, but just the way cricket is, the sort of turnover of staff, there sort of seems to be two or three people leave the game every year. It sort of gets easier and easier year by year. And, you know, playing Yorkshire now, there's only probably two or three people from when I played. So, it definitely gets easier.
Didn't stop me feeling bad, mate. But, yeah, I'm glad you've gone on to have an unbelievable career. It's always been good fun to play against you. We've probably got each other out a few times, well, haven't we, over the years?
Yeah, definitely. You have definitely got me out several times. I think you bounced me a few times as well, which I'm not too sure I'm happy about.
Bowlers Union went out a window a long time ago, mate. It's ruthless.
Yeah, it really has. It really has, yeah. And me and Brunty got a nice connection. When I was growing up at Yorkshire, they started to take you in the Yorkshire Academy, but they send you out to the York to league cricket to play on a Saturday. And I played for two or three years at Barnsley, and I don't think I ever came across Brunty, but Brunty's dad used to come down every Saturday and watch, and was one of the faithful on the edge, up in a pint or two. So yeah, a bit of a nice little Barnsley connection.
He's an absolute legend at that club. He's got
what, me?
Both now. Al Mickey, as I call him, Al Mickey now. He's bless him, he sponsored a balcony on the pub, like pavilion overlooking the ground, and he sponsored making a balcony, and he named it after me, bless him. I think he wanted there to be something some sort of history there.
Love it. KSB balcony, love it. I'm going to say, I'm definitely not a legend now. I don't think I did very well. I probably averaged about 45 with the ball and 2.3 with the bat, so it's definitely not me. Yeah, your dad was lovely, genuinely. Every Saturday, always, you know, full of encouragement and, you know, pretty nice, and a bit of banter on the sidelines.
Oh, good.
It was great.
Well, I'm sure he would have bought you a pint, even if you were rubbish.
So, Ollie, you finished a game yesterday, wasn't it? And you got a fifer this game as well. So you've obviously been piling into the polls again. You've got a bit of time off now, though. So how has the start of the season been, and what are you going to be up to now? Have you got a week off or so?
So it's been quite a tough start to season. There's been some pretty inclement weather about. I know Brunton was building a shed in the garden for 6.5 hours. And I'm no doctor, but this cold you've got, maybe drinking champagne in the garden in like 6 degree heat, probably something to do with that. Maybe getting the cold, I don't know. I'm no physician. But yeah, it's been pretty blustery, pretty cold. We've had a little bit of rain around. Obviously, we had the cooker rubber balls, which were a bit of a challenge. But yeah, a bit unlucky. We seem to have had quite a few flat pitches, the Warwickshire team, both home and away. Sort of every pitch we've played on seems to be a bit of a flatty, which for me as a seam bowler has been a bit of hard work. But it's all good, yeah. We've been a bit unlucky, played some good cricket, but we've not really managed to get a result so far. Due to a bit of weather, due to a few flat pitches. So nice this week that we've got a bit of a week off. And I will be doing, I mean, today, if you can see behind me, there's quite a lot of washing, drying on the radiators. Very, very dull human being. I've been doing the laundry today because, you know, all the laundry that's stacked up for the last week, all my whites, I've had to scrub them clean with a bit of Vanish. Other cleaning brands are available, guys, but you're the class. Leave them to soak overnight and then get your toothbrush out.
You've really got the knack of it, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how do you get your whites clean? Yeah. Leave them to soak in that powdery stuff and then give them a little scrub and then they should come clean. And if they don't come clean from that, then...
The one thing I hate about cleaning your kit is when you're touring, you can't do your own washing. I'm not saying I love doing washing, but I hate other people doing my washing because... They just stick them in laundries at the hotels, put them on like 60 degrees. You get them back size 8 and you're like, I'm not fat, but I feel fat right now. And everything's suction tight. And they definitely haven't spent any time with a toothbrush or Vanish on them. That's for sure. So,
yeah. And I'm convinced, like, I mean, I've not torn half as much as you, Bunty, but, you know, how many sets of England or Warwickshire shorts go in the wash? And I'm convinced I don't get it. It's not the same ones you get back. Like I put in double, I put in XL, and I'm getting a medium pair of shorts back. Like it's, you know, it's an absolute lottery.
You put my name on there, very big. Sometimes I see Heather Knight used to walk around with my Nike socks on, and she'd lift her foot up. She'd lift her foot up, and there'd be a big KB on the bottom, and be like, "Can you not tell that's my sock, cheeky cow?"
Yeah, you see, it's a lottery. But yeah, laundry today and then a bit of a chilled week. We've got club golf day on Thursday, which would be nice. Play a bit of golf with a few sponsors and whatnot. And then sort of back to training as of Monday, I think. So a few days off, but all good. Try to do something nice on the bank holiday weekend. My chocolate Labrador is on the sofa here sleeping next to me. So I'll be going out a few walks with him.
No. Not Toby Lad.
Toby Lad, yeah, he's fast asleep. Bless him.
Who's the best golfer at the Bears, mate? Rhodesy, is he up there?
Oh, you know what? I hate to say it, but it's probably Alex Davis. Really? He's very good. He's very solid. Yeah, thinks his way around. Very canny. He's a solid rock.
Nice.
He's had a...
Hate to say it because he's, you know, obviously from Lancashire. But yeah,
he's a captain, mate. You've got to be nice to him, haven't you?
Yeah, actually, yeah, good point. Yeah.
He's had a cracking start to the season, hasn't he? Run machine.
Yeah, I mean, we've been, you know, look, Alex, we have played on a few flat pitches, but our you know, batters have been brilliant. Massive totals on the board, all spent time in the middle, which hopefully for the rest of the summer will stand them in really good stead. So, yeah, the batting side of things, the guys have been very, very impressive. It's been, as you two will know, when you spent a lot of time in the dirt bowling and then the batters give you 2 days off, you're very, very appreciative to them. So it's been nice to just sit and drink a few cups of tea and watch them get lots of runs.
It's their job, isn't it? Whilst we bowl teams out, it's our job. It'd be nice if they did their job properly now and again, wouldn't it?
Well, and they have done that. I can't say different. They've been brilliant.
Nice. Anyway, enough about them. About you, your 200th game as a Bear, and a cheeky little fiver to go with it. How are you feeling about that then? You feeling old?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, the media guy texted me in the morning saying, "Oh, this will be your 200th game for the Bear." I was like, I mean, 12th manning must count. I'm probably 12th man for about 200, about 180 of them, but yeah, I can't believe it. You know, that's really nice to, you know, play so many games for Warwickshire, and yeah, to get a few wickets as well is always nice. Bit of a shame we lost sort of 70 overs to rain. I think if we hadn't lost 70 overs to rain, it would have been quite a good game of cricket, and either team might have been able to force a result. So it's a bit of a shame about that. Ended up being a bit of a damp squib yesterday, a bit of a dull draw. So that was a bit of a shame. But yeah, to get a few wickets and play that many games of cricket for a great club is, crazy. I'm really, really, yes, I'm very proud of.
Do the club do anything special for stuff like that? Or just a little high five?
Yeah, just a little tweet.
Shocking. And get him some champers. Or Rolex.
No, No, I'm fine with that. Just, you know, a little tweet's fine by me.
You're on in my Instagram all the time, mate. There's always something with you on Instagram.
Am I? What, from me? Or from a bit the club?
Both, really. Just see your little owl head popping up all the time.
It used to be an owl head. It's a bit of a bald eagle these days. That's what,
vulture.
If any kids watching, I used to have a lovely, luscious, feathery head of hair. And I pulled into the wind now for 15 years. Look at me.
Disgusting. All falling down into your chin.
Any young boys and girls listening and watching, learn to bat and bowl a bit of spin. Don't bother with seeing.
I agree.
I watched you bat all winter, mate. Whenever I was at Edgbaston coaching, you were there batting.
I was. I've scored no runs yet this year, but I worked hard on it all winter, and yeah, it's not worked out yet, but hopefully I might get a few this year.
Excellent, mate. Well, 200 games, 11 years. I know that Bronte's keen to talk to you about your testimonial year, mate. Talk us through that.
Very nice. You know, I've been here 10 years now, so this is my 11th year, but last year the club said, you know, we'd like to offer you a testimonial year, which is, you know, something really special. When I got booted out of Yorkshire because they signed a load of nonces, you know, it's something I'd never have thought I would ever, you know, ever happen. But to be at such a great club for 10 years is something really, really special. And, you know, it's just a nice celebration, really, isn't it? Like I say, hopefully I've got plenty of years left in me, but it's just a nice celebration of my career so far at Warwickshire. Got off some nice events. Probably, you know, big event is having a Lord's dinner. I know Brunty said she was at a Lord's dinner this week, but yeah. I'll have a celebration of my career at Lords with my family there. It'll be something extra, extra special. And to raise some money, some great charities as well, the PCA Trust being one of them, and Cure Leukemia being the other, which is a great charity in Birmingham. Two brilliant charities there. We all know the great work the PCA Trust does. Hopefully the three of us will never have to tap into those funds, but it's there for when people sort of fall hard times, and we know there's some stats around leaving the professional game and leaving professional cricket. You know, people do struggle really sometimes. So, you know, it's a great charity. And then Cure Leukemia, you know, sort of does what it does in tin. It's an amazing charity here in Birmingham, you know, helping people, you know, fight an awful disease. So, yeah, it's a really cool year that, you know, I can, like I say, celebrate my career so far. Hopefully got a few years left. It's hopefully not a golden handshake, although, you know, at the end of this year, Robbo might call me in and say, no, you're done.
They take you out the back of the shed, get a shotgun. And...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put me out to pasture. Yeah.
So I reckon, just talk us through, because the women obviously have never had benefit or testimonial years, so probably half our listeners won't even know what one is. Could you explain what a benefit year is and how you come about getting one of those, and then what that year looks like?
Well, it's just, I mean, historically, I think it was sort of invented by cricketers back 150 years ago. I think they teach you all this when you get one. Some guy in Kent got one given first. It basically was retiring, and the members of Kent Cricket Club wanted to say thank you for your service. So they threw him a cricket game and gave him all the gate receipts, gave him all the ticket sales, and they might have had a raffle or something, and sort of gave him that as a bit of a golden handshake. Yeah, give a tombola, raffle off a shirt.
Well, it's nice to have something to, because when it all ends, doesn't it? It's a bit of
yeah, exactly. So that's where it started. You know, cricket's changed a little bit. You know, we've got pensions now and all that sort of thing. But it's, you know, essentially the same, just a sort of bit of celebration of your career. Like I say, hopefully raise some money for a few charities. Like I say, celebrate your career. And you know, sort of say thank you for your service to the club, really, which is really cool. And it's something the club sort of have to award you. You don't really go on
knocking on the door. Excuse me, can I have some more money?
Yeah, yeah, it's really,
yeah, exactly.
It's great that they've recognised your achievements. I'm really happy for you that you've got that. So that's great. I would love to see the women bring it into the women's game. That's I think the next step for me now that it's the professional game sort of creeping into our domestic side. I think that's been the problem. The domestic side of our game's always been, you know, your mum and your dad come to watch and that's the end of that. But like this, it's getting a bit more real now, I guess. the media is stretching across to the domestic game, and more people are coming through from that, and the restructuring that's just happened. I think we'll play into that really well. So I'd love to see, because I mean, I would have loved to have had Charlotte Edwards had a benefit year, for instance, and celebrate some of the greats that we've ever had. It's been a shame, really. But
well, the one thing is I champion with it is it's meant for your. For me, if your classic county pros that won't go on and play for England or make the financial rewards, which a lot of people can do now. Whereas, I'm not saying Ollie's just been on the breadline for 15 years, but his career is going to finish much like mine, where you've been doing all right and then suddenly it finishes.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like it helps you build a future, or it's there to sort of support you in your next steps, which when you're in your mid, late 30s, however old you're going to be when you finish, like it is a big deal. It's a big ask. One of the reasons I left Yorkshire really was that security of a third year of a contract, and you know, turning around to Yorkshire and saying, look, if you offer me a benefit year for my third year, or you know, can do something, I'll potentially stay. But they wouldn't have it. They said, there's lads ahead of you like Bairstow and Root. And I'm like, okay, I get that they'll be Yorkshire legends and everything, but do they really need the benefit year as for the financial reasons? Like, probably not, but
that's true.
That's for another day, really. But no, it's meant for your county superstars like Ollie, which. I'm sure he obviously sounds like he's very appreciative as well. But it's great that you're involved in the PCA Trust, mate. Sorry, the Professional Cricketers Trust. And you're giving a bit back to the game, mate.
Yeah, hopefully. I like it. I think Brunty's dead right. I think, you know, the professional men's game has you know, done brilliantly over the last few years, and rightly so. There's a lot of things like the retirement pot and pay has increased, and you know, minimum standards we pay is all excellent, but I think sort of disparity sometimes between the men and the women's game is something that, you know, we should look at. And I know, you know, for a fact the PCA are working really hard on that sort of as we speak. But yeah, there's definitely things that sort of need leveling up. And if testimonials are one of them, then Brunty, if you have a backdated testimonial, I would definitely attend.
If you wheel me out. I can wheel me out.
I'm sure we could do. Let's think about it. You just said you've got a balcony at Barnsley. We could do a meat raffle. We could do a tombola. We could do an egg and spoon race. That'd be
amazing. As long as there's plenty of drink involved, I'm there.
Dickie Bird would turn up without a doubt. We could have a dinner with
Dickie Bird. Wouldn't he? He would.
Perfect. Ollie, with your benefit year. Testimonial, sorry. How come, if any of our listeners, because we get literally millions, if someone listening wanted to get involved, help support you, or you know, take more of an interest, have you got golf days? Like, what events are you having, and how can people get involved to help support you and those charities?
Yeah, thanks. Various dinners and golf days and whatnot throughout the year. My website, search for me on Twitter, it's on my Twitter page, but it's ohd2024.co.uk. So pretty simple.
Top man.
OHD2024.co.uk.
Nice.
Wicked, mate. Wicked. So you touched on your role with PCA as well. I know you've been a huge driver for them in the background and big voice for the game and for us as fellow players. How long have you been involved in your PCA role for at Warwickshire?
I think probably about 10 years. Yeah, I think when I first arrived, it was me and Laurie Evans sort of shared the PCA rep role. And then when Laurie left, it was me. So yeah, I think probably just about 10 years. I mean, I'll be totally honest with you. The golf days to start with were a big pull. You know, when we first started, it was, oh, we go away on a few golf days, you know, throughout the year. I mean, that was a big
carrot. That's a running theme on this show.
But then the older you get, you do realise, like, oh, you know, there's a lot of important things that go on. You know, even this year, there's a new county partnership agreement sort of coming up, and you know, there's a lot of important things that need to be discussed in the change room. And you know, if I'm a voice from my chip, well, from our change room at Edgbaston to the PCA, and then getting messages back from the PCA to the Warwickshire change room, you know, that's sort of, you know, the way it needs to work, and that's sort of great, sort of opening that dialogue up, really.
Yeah, of course, mate. And in obviously you've done it for so long now, how much has the game changed in 10, 15 years that you've been involved in the game from a PCA point of view and your player's role?
Yeah, loads. I mean, sort of quite a few big things, really. So our contracts used to run October to October. So if you got told you were getting released in September, you basically had 1 month's pay, and then it was see you later and enjoy the rest of your life. Whereas now they run, is it December to December or January to January? But you basically, once you, if you get sacked in September, you've got a 3 month pay.
Yeah, so your contracts still run to September to September, but the October, November, December, you still get your wage that you're on for those 3 months. So it sees you through to the end of the year as a bit of a, you know, got 3 month buffer, if you like.
Bit of a buffer, which is absolutely fantastic. I think, you know, if you've got 3 months sort of pay to try and get you to your next job, unbelievable. Sort of minimum pay has gone up, you know, the new county partnership agreement pay has gone up. And I think that's fantastic, particularly for young players. You know, there was all sorts of stories 5-10 years ago about guys straight out of uni getting paid $5,000 for the summer. And when you do the math, it ends up being sort of miles less than minimum wage. And, you know, it's not really very fair. And you wouldn't expect someone to work down at Tesco for that amount of money, let alone be a professional cricketer. So just minimum standards there, I think, is fantastic. The retirement pot, you know, certainly for people like me and you, Brooksy, you know, certainly close to the end of our careers, or obviously you've finished, but, you know, the retirement pot being there, as well as those sort of few months extra pay, the retirement pot being there, knowing
quite substantial now, mate. It's very thankful for that. That was something I was a huge advocate for. Yeah. Knowing come to the end of my career, I had that to sort of soften, like we keep saying, soften the blow in that transition when a lot of people struggle with mental health or what to do next if you haven't sorted yourself out or anything like that. Pot of money, it's not something I'm going to rely on, but it's nice to know that it's there as a worst case, and it is like a substantial amount of money these days.
And then I think just the general health and well-being, you know, of players. I think we're a lot more aware of things like mental health now, and, you know, looking after our bodies a lot more. I think all that sort of stuff. Getting ready for retirement, you know, doing courses, doing coaching badges, all that support the PCA gives us, sort of coming towards the end of your career, you know, is invaluable. And I've said it before, but, you know, the retirement pot and stuff is all absolutely unbelievable and fantastic, but it's probably important that we sort of get some parity in that.
That'd have been nice for me to have a little retirement pot. Cheers, PCA, ECB.
Especially an England superstar like you.
Do you know what's really annoying is that is not just in the men's game. It's in the women's game, but it's with the Australian cricket team, I think, are the only female cricket team in the world to do that. So the likes of all the best players in the world. So I'm talking like, for Australia. So you're like Alyssa Healy, Elise Perry. When they decide to retire, they'll have a retirement pot, and it's calculated through how many international games they've played over how many years and at what tier they played at. So, for instance, if it was me, I've only ever been on a tier one or two for the last 19 years of my England career. So my pot would have been like the very top. And I think they would have cleared, like, if let's say Elise Perry retires in 2 years, she might clear $1 million. And that's just like you say, very, very beneficial to somebody who's taking the next step and could just take some sort of hiatus from work because they don't know what the fuck they're going to do next. So, and that literally could be nothing, or because they don't enjoy anything else, or they might, you know, just gives you that time to work it out rather than rush and jump into something and get all depressed, which can happen. So, yeah, we don't have that. We didn't get that. I didn't get that. But it would have been a very, 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 very handy thing to have for the next stage of the life. And the Australian women are leading the way with that. And I hope that the ECB and the PCA sort that out, because that is, for me, ridiculous that it's not there for somebody who's given 10, 20 years of service for their country and that it's not like it doesn't exist. You know what I mean? It is there.
And I know. Yeah, there's a new county partnership agreement, isn't there, sort of being negotiated at the moment? And, you know, certainly for me, I think that women's retirement pop for sort of 2025 onwards would be you know, great.
Yeah, thank God they're talking about it. Let's get it done.
It'll happen.
But isn't it like all the issues that we're talking about is, because we all love the game, It's what you're going to do after, because it's this bizarre, we're in this sort of bizarre situation where, you know, it's not, I'm not an accountant, I've not gone and be a teacher. I know when I'm 50, I won't be bowling a cricket ball anymore. And I'm, like, you know, I love it. I love the challenge of it. I love playing cricket. But it's this sort of bizarre feeling that you feel like you're careering towards the edge of a cliff, and you sort of don't really know when the cliff's coming, and you don't know how big the cliff might be. Like the cliff might just be a little step, and you might be fine. Your career might be fine. You know, you might fly again, or you might end up in free fall, like you said, for 2 years, and you don't know what you want to do, and all that sort of stuff. It's a very, very strange feeling to think that you're doing something you love so much, but you've got no idea when it might end, but it will end. There's no doubt about it.
It's real, mate. It will end. The two of us are here. We've lived it for the last 10, 12, what, 8, 9, 10, whatever it is, months. I can't even count. Yeah. That's how bad my brain is. So I reckon you'll just end up doing a podcast, Ollie, and then...
Is that the sign that it's a cry
it's
for help?
A stepping stone, mate. You'll do owl lookalike gigs, anything owl-related for TV and film. And anybody that needs somebody that's 6'8", the role.
That's it. This podcast is from the PCA. So any big ass talking points like this is welcome. Like, I've just had a big old rant on the women not getting that certain pot, but that is being talked about by the PCA for 2025. So that is in the pipeline. So thank you very much, PCA, for making that a thing for the future.
100%.
But also, 100%, I think. We can talk about retirement too. Like, all three of us, as sort of your sort of thing, might start creeping those thoughts in, Holly.
Sorry, mate, you're done now.
Just
little, you're just retired.
What? Little creep. Yeah. You know, just little, mate, I started thinking about it 5 years out. I don't know about you. So, you know, this we want to get sometimes a bit further under the lid with this sort of stuff. And I think it's better because I would like to think a lot of the cricketers might listen to this, and we'd be daft if we didn't get some sort of insight or honesty towards what it's like living and breathing it. And so it's not all f-ing sunshine and roses. I'll give you that. So
no, not quite.
And what, like, if you two have both been through it in the last 10 months, as you both said, can you look back on anything you did in the previous 15 years playing cricket that you thought, oh, I'm so glad I did that now. Like, that stood me in good stead for this period. Is there anything that you did or wish you had done that?
Yes.
Do you want to go, Jack? Network and be nice to people was a massive one for me. I've always been an advocate. I'm like to think I'm a pretty good people person, and sort of relying on my network now a little bit, or for a little bit of help or advice. And people are sort of really, really keen to help out if you just ask for a bit of help. Trying a few things just to see if you like them. I think that ticks off. If you don't like them, then you know you can put that to bed. And just making sure that if you liked your cricket career for that long, just do something you enjoy. Don't just settle for doing something you don't really enjoy.
Yeah.
And just back yourself that you will be fine. There's always going to be a few doubts and that, but just find something you really like and roll with that. And not put too much pressure on yourself, because I think it's time. I think you've also got to take a bit of stock and celebrate your career and take a little bit of time and not jump into something straight away. That's been quite important for me. But yeah, it's tough. There's going to be tough times. The hardest thing probably is when you suddenly get no paycheck coming in, especially like I've gone down a self-employed route. So you're just like, not sure how your income's where, how much income you're getting each month. But that's where things like the PCA are helpful with their drop-down fund. Well, I can't remember what it is off top, what it's called, top of my head. But yeah, there's no end to support there from the PCA if you need it as well. Do you know what you're going to do, Ollie? What you'd like to do or not?
Honestly, yeah. What I'm actually going to be when I grow up is not really something I've answered as yet. I do lots of coaching. You know, I we've got a brilliant setup at Warwickshire. We've got a brilliant guy who runs the academy. He's called Paul Greetham. I sort of stay to him most winters. I'll happily volunteer and I'll do some coaching. I really, really like my coaching. Whether that means I'm going to be a full-time coach when I grow up, I'm not too sure, but it's something I sort of enjoy now. But yeah, I honestly not too sure, if I'm totally honest. And I agree with you, Jack. You know, the PC are brilliant. They put on loads of taster days, loads of dip your toe into various jobs. And there's sort of know, I've never come away from one of those days thinking I wish I hadn't done that. Even if I think I never want to be a stock market investor, you know, there's various days that you go to, and crossing something off your list is just as good as saying I think I enjoyed that. I think sort of saying no, I don't want to be an investor, that's fine. You know, that's fine if you sort of go to a day and think that's not for me.
The most important one for me was when I had my second back surgery. I shit my pants on my first one, but you know, I really did shit my pants in the second one. So 2014, I went under the knife, and then when I was laying there afterwards, I thought, right, okay, so you chose cricket because you were good at it and you were sort of pushed in that direction by family, but you didn't know if you really wanted to do it. And then you left school because you really hated that. So you don't have an education. You jumped into this world where you're not getting paid. So you play for the first 10 years for free pretty much, and then start saving, start thinking about life. And then the surgery happens and you're like, I might never play cricket again properly. And the best thing I ever did was look at starting the life what I would have after cricket then. So that was 10 years prior to me retiring. So, but it took a little bit of a scare to do that. But I recommend that to everyone. So save your money, be smart with your money, invest in smart things, and start doing bits towards the rest of your life then. So do it early. And I started dipping in property then. And I did it in little bits every sort of couple of months for the next 10 years, because I knew I didn't want to be a coach. Coaching's not for everyone. Like, just because we're in cricket doesn't mean we need to do coaching or commentary or something in cricket. I was scared that cricket would be something I wouldn't want to be involved in after. So it's nice to have the choice, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's very smart.
But for God's sake, please do it early. Don't think of these things in the last 2 years of your career. Like, but it's so hard to drive that into these youngsters. So hard. So
yeah, you just think it's never going to happen.
I think Jack's point, because your point about sort of being nice to people, like with a testimonial, it's amazing how people sort of appear and you're like, oh yeah, I remember, you know, you were nice to me at that dinner 10 years ago. So I'll come to the next dinner. He's like, what? I don't remember doing that. But you sort of never know who you enter. You never know who's on the boundary sat behind you. So, you know, just sort of trying to be a half decent human being, I think, goes a long way sometimes.
Don't be a dickhead. Don't be a dickhead. Going back to PCA stuff quickly and the pre-season meetings. Obviously, money is always a big talking point. Everyone wants more money. Another thing that always crops up, and it's always in the media, is the schedule. As a current player, what's the schedule like for you? What's the viewpoint from the changing room on the impact of the schedule on physical, mental welfare, as well as high performance?
I mean, I think the main things are safety, really. I mean, there's the game's tough. We all know that. You know, playing four-day cricket, it's a weird sport that we play three formats. But sort of people finishing late at night, finishing 50-over games or T20 games, late at night, midnight, and then driving hundreds of miles home. You know, it's just, that's not safe, is it? And it's a miracle, really, that no one's been seriously hurt on the road late at night. So I do get the arguments about high performance. You know, I think Sam Cook did an interview with a newspaper, I can't remember which one, saying, you know, how can I try get picked for England? How can I try ball 85 miles an hour? If I'm being asked to play so much cricket, you know, which is understandable as well. But yeah, sort of that player welfare point of view would be the big one for me, that certainly finishing games late and getting on the motorway is not very safe, if you ask me. And you don't really ask many other professions to do it. Yeah, so certainly lorry drivers and coach drivers, we often get on the coach and the coach driver has to stop for 20 minutes at Beaconsfield Services because he's tired. But
I've slept in a bloody service station before on the way from a county game because I was so tired. I nearly crashed. I pulled over.
I've done that before as well.
I had a two-hour nap because I was just like, no, I'm going to crash and die. I've just got to stop.
Yeah. And people think, oh, it's just a T20. It's only 3 hours. But, you know, you have to get there 3 hours before and then you blooming you know, it's very high intense, isn't it? If it's a TV game or what, you know, if it's just a big T20 game, it's a draining experience. And then by the time you've debriefed and then had a shower and whatnot, you're leaving the ground at half 12 at night, and to drive 2 hours home, it's
adrenaline crash.
I think so. Just
T20s for me were mentally draining, way more than sort of 4 days for championship cricket. And championship cricket was more physically draining on a bowling day because you're knackered, you're having a hot bath in your hotel room, ordering room service or delivery or whatever. You're just like, ugh. But after a 2020, you're just mentally all over the place. The adrenaline's buzzing, isn't it?
Yeah. Quite a lot of time I get a stiff neck after T20s, but that's just because I'm keep getting smacked over my head and you get a bit of whiplash. Get a bit of whiplash looking up so quick. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's just some very basic standards about, you know, if a game finishes after 10 o'clock, or something, you have to stay over that night. Or,
does this mean less cricket then, Olive? If you're dry. That's a big point. Do we need less cricket or do we need less tournaments? Or just a little bit less of each one, or do we get rid of a tournament, or what how lengthen the season? Like what's right? Is there a right answer?
I mean, I don't know. You're talking to a guy who went to comprehensive school in Halifax. I'm not sure I'm bright enough for these questions, but yeah, I mean, if you speak to a lot of the people in changing rooms and a lot of people around the ground, I cannot speak for everyone in my changing rooms, but certainly a lot of people talk about are we playing too much cricket. We're obviously very blessed in this country that we have so many, you know, first class counties, and I think that's brilliant, and I think that is protecting. Since the last county partnership agreement, I think the number of professional cricketers has gone up, as well as the other stuff we've talked about, pay and whatnot, which I think is brilliant and I think needs protecting. But yeah, if you look at other countries, I think they all play 10 first class games a year, whereas we play currently 40, yeah. Is it? I don't know. Is that the way to go? I'm speaking. I mean, we've had a pretty poor start to the year weather-wise, haven't we? And I'm speaking maybe apocryphally here, but it often seems to be that we finish at the end of September, and then the whole of October is absolutely glorious sunshine, and we're all playing golf, and it's a bit like, well, I could probably still be playing cricket here. So, is extending the season into October?
Ooh.
2 weeks, 3 weeks? Is that the way to go?
Yeah.
We used to all this crap cold weather anyway, so why not? I'm just playing December now. Screw it.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? We finish the season and October's glorious, and you're having barbecues and playing golf.
Global warming, mate. We're not going to play till Christmas. Bugger it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Roast turkey for lunch.
But for me, you know, player welfare, it'd be very interesting if we did reduce a little bit of cricket, but it'd be interesting to see what happened with bowlers' injuries. You know, there's obviously loads of chat about bowlers getting stress fractures and bowlers not bowling as quick as they should do because they have to play so much cricket. Well, it'd be really interesting
to see.
They
just hold back, don't they? I used to hold back all the time. I love to charge in, but I know I'd be out for a couple of days just like sore as
Get your moments, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly.
That's where Ollie. That's why Ollie doesn't bowl 90 because he knows he can get through a year doing what he does. What are you, 68 mile an hour?
I'll be honest. I try bowl as fast as I possibly can every bowl because if I bowled within myself, it would be 65 miles an hour, and it's currently probably 75.
Imagine being 6 foot eight though. How good.
Slowest of slow twitch.
I'm not blessed with any. Yeah, I am so slow twitch. Yeah. Do you ever do jump tests to see how high you jump in the fitness?
That went progressively worse.
The people who are good at it do 50 centimetres. I promise you I'm 20 centimetres. I am the least powerful human being you have ever met in your life. So I'm trying to bowl as fast as I can.
I heard you can't even get a beer mat under you when you're jumping.
You've not got the bowler's booty then. 100%.
No, none of them.
Anyway, we are proper gassing on here. But we need to get to this part of the show where it's the Cricket Archive guest stat alert.
Siren.
It's awful. Right, you ready, Ollie? It's a decent one, this. Of the 1,103 wickets Cricket Archive have listed for you for all types of cricket across your life, there's only one instance of a batter being stumped a few. Can you remember it? I've had a couple of stumpings. Sarah Taylor. This backs up your 75 mile an hour stat.
Yeah, I think it's Joe Clark and it's Michael Burgess stumping him.
Correct.
And it was Edgbaston, and it was brilliant. I got it terribly wrong. Leg side half volley. Burgess took it brilliantly. And yes, I'm sorry. I think it got tweeted. I think
how good is it when your keeper just sorts that out for you? So I've had a leg side stumping off Sarah. It was freakish.
Sarah's class, wasn't she? Sarah's class, Burgess' class stood up. Like, if you've got a keeper who can come up to
it, was awful on the batter. She was on 99.
Oh,
Danae van Niekerk from South Africa, poor girl.
Wow.
Right, the PCA MVP team of the month for April has been announced, Ollie. I'm sure you've been interested in that and you've seen that. For the men's and the women's teams. Obviously, we're now a month into season. The PCA MVP, powered by Argentex, has announced its first teams of the month across the men's and the women's game. Brunty, do you want to run through the women's team quickly?
Yeah, I'll fire mine out. Tash Farron, shock, 350s in a row. Lauren Winfield-Hill, wicketkeeper, obviously, got most of her points through that. Ellen McCorkin. I think that's how you say it anyway. Holly Armitage, Charlie Knott, the Aussie overseas, Katie George, Amanda Jade Wellington, another filthy Aussie overseas, Jodie Grewcock, Phoebe Turner from mighty Yorkshire, Sophie Eccleston, and Rhianna McDonald Gay. No shock there. Five for and a four
for. Team. Serious 11.
Nice.
Are there any central sparks in there?
Katie George.
Yeah, Josh.
She's done all right last game. She's done well. She's been. I didn't work with her loads in the winter because she was coming back from injury. But no, she's a gun cricketer. I know that Bronte's a fan of hers as well.
Hmm.
The men's team. Number one, Alex Davis, your captain. Opening, he's got a 200 and a 190 odd. I think he's back to back.
Shock.
Number two, Ben Duckett, previous guest on this podcast. We only get good players, top players on this podcast. Number three, Rob Yates, who's down as captain as well. I'm not sure because he opens a batting in, but they obviously dropped him down to three. Number four, Tom Lammerby, my old mucker from Somerset. He started well, I think, with 100 and a 350s. Joe Clark will be keeping at five. Often gets stomped down leg side by ropey medium pacers. Number six, David Beddingham, overseas player from South Africa. Number seven, Ryan Higgins. He's absolutely belted it. He's got loads of runs at number six for Middlesex this year, and he's obviously always up there with the wickets. Number eight, Sam Cook. Absolutely loves the county championship. Cameron Steele. What a start he's had for a leg spinner in April. He's taken bags of wickets. Jamie Porter at 10, and Dan Worrell, who for me is one of my favourite bowlers to watch in the county championship. He's an absolute jet, isn't he, Ollie? So that's a serious team. Unfortunately, Ollie, you missed out. So other than you, who else could potentially be in that team?
Well, I mean, I think I deserve a bit of credit for that because certainly Ben Duckett, I bowled a lot of fast bowlers and cut balls at Ben Duckett today, and he wouldn't be in that side if it weren't for me. So I think Mr. Duckett owes me a little bit of gratitude. But yeah, it's a good side. That particular ball, I mean, I'm a massive fan of Sam Cook. I think he's exceptional. He's, you know, week on week, he's probably the best bowler in county cricket for quite a number of years now, and I'd love to see him get a chance at test level or a higher level. You mentioned Dan Worrell. He's a pretty special bowler as well, isn't he? So, yeah, pretty good team there, if you ask me. And a few bears in as well. So
we're just proving that we are the best podcast, cricket podcast, because, you know, like, just reading out all the names we're having on here, basically.
Yeah, Sam Cook was on here as well.
So essentially, if I'm not in that team in the next few weeks, I've basically let you guys down.
Yeah, it's not our fault. It's not our fault.
Well, if you want some inspiration, there it is. Fantastic.
Stop bowling off volleys to Ben Duckett, mate.
Yeah, not.
Yes, yeah,
no more of them, please. Yeah. We'll have it on a 50 pence piece, roughly about 6 meters from the batter.
It's now time for the big question. Under the lids, big question.
Go on, Jack. Go on, Jack.
All right. Okay. This show is all about getting the truth behind life as a professional cricketer, Ollie. And every week we're able to ask our guests for one piece of information most people do not know about them. Hopefully not cricket related. Do you have anything a bit quirky, Ollie?
Listen, I'm a very boring human being. I've thought about this a lot. I think the best bit I can give you is that I'm addicted to biscuits. I have got a cupboard at home absolutely full to the brim of biscuits that I'm quite sure it's a high cupboard. So Kirsty, my wife, can't get there. And my spot at the ground, I'm sort of hidden in the corner at Edgbaston. And no one can really see in my locker when I open it. And
I've got a basically a larder cupboard at home. What's your top three?
Yeah.
Give him the top three.
Chocolate hobnobs got to be in.
I'm just gonna give you my top one. I'm just gonna give you my top one, if I'm honest. And I'm, this is quite unpopular, but my favorite biscuit in the world is a fig roll. Absolutely love a fig roll. Like, just cannot beat a fig roll at any time of day or night.
I'm gonna let you have all that, because that is, you've blown my mind with both of what you've said. Like, A, I didn't expect you to say biscuit lover, and B, fig roll. Never ever have guessed that.
Yeah.
Mine's like a chocolate hobnob or an Oreo or something. You've just blown.
Yeah, listen. You'll, there are no bad biscuits. There are good and better. Yeah, there are no bad biscuits, but fig roll's top for me. But yeah, in my life, some people have studs, some people have inspirational quotes, some people have loads of spikes. My locker's full of biscuits.
It's the T20 Men's World Cup squad's been announced, hasn't it?
Yep.
A lot of that list is what we would expect, obviously. But how about Rayan Ahmed, Tom Hartley? And is there any Bears players there that have missed out, that you feel has missed out?
Well, I mean, first thing you've got to say is, geez, the depth of talent in English cricket, particularly that white ball team at the moment, is pretty frightening, isn't it? You know, you're watching people like Phil Salt.
What about Will Jack? Dominate
in the IPL.
Oh, Jesus.
Will Jack. Johnny Best, you know, it's crazy, really, isn't it? The sort of depth that's there. From a Bears point of view, great to see. I think Moeen Ali's named, isn't he? So it's great to see Moeen Ali. It breaks my heart a little bit, though, to not see Chris Wokes in that side. Chris Wokes is an absolute Rolls Royce of a cricketer. Will probably go down as, brilliant human being. Brilliant cricketer.
If I hadn't married Nat, I'd marry Chris.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd marry Chris.
A big cue. He's a popular man, isn't he?
But you can't sort of deny Chris Jordan, though, can you? Like, I mean,
no, I'm not the point I'm trying to make. Jesus, there's so many talented cricketers in white ball cricket.
But I hear what you're saying.
That, someone's got to miss out. But yeah, it's a shame that it's Wokesy, because, you know, I think he's a bit of a Rolls Royce of a cricketer, really, and I think he can. Perform in loads of different situations, and has done a great job for England for a number of years. So I'm a bit disappointed to not see him, but it's still a good squad. I won't want to bowl at any of them.
We've won it last time, a lot of people took note, haven't they, of the brand of cricket we're playing and that. And there's, you know, it's non-stop talked about. So do you reckon? I reckon obviously teams have properly changed the way they're going about stuff. So how do you rate our chances now?
Well, it's obviously going to be tough. I mean, other than the West Indies and the USA, how are pitchers going to play in Texas and New York? Who knows? You're probably going to have to give the home team a bit of an advantage there, because no doubt they're going to know conditions. But I think India look good. I mean, India look good.
They just churn them out, don't they? Probably going
to. Oh, geez. I think any India side are frightening. I think they're probably going to be the team to beat. More importantly for me, though, have you seen the New Zealand kit?
Do you love it or hate it?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it.
Do you want light-coloured trousers that, though? I always hate light-coloured trousers.
I love the retro-ness of it. Nice. If every team did retro,
aren't we? Because it's just like everybody's wearing clothes from the charity shops these days anyway, so we might as well go for it.
Yeah, exactly. 2019, we won the World Cup with like a throwback colour to 92, didn't we?
Yeah. My favourite ever Bears kit was a throwback to the 1994 team that won the treble with this retro kit. Brilliant. Oh, yeah, I love the retro kits. But I suppose if you always wore a retro kit, then in 20 years' time, there wouldn't be any retro kits, would there?
So you're probably, right. Yeah. Right, Ollie, we've got our last round coming up. Are you ready? Because it is time.
Okay.
Welcome you to the last round. So this is our quiz part of the show. I have to say, where our guests get to swing from the ring and answer as many questions as they can in 60 seconds. There's a score on the board. You get one run for every correct answer.
Who's winning so far? Who's top of the
league? Charlie Dean with 7, and then Sam Cook 6, and Duckett and Katie Levick level on 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's not high scoring. It's 60s.
Right. Ollie, Hannon, Dalby, it's the last round. A 3, 2, 1, go.
At what ground do Warwickshire play their next game?
The Oval.
Yes. In what team? In what year was Warwickshire CCC formed?
1882.
Correct.
Yeah. In what format do you have the lowest bowling average?
T20.
Yes.
How many minutes did you bat with a broken arm against Somerset in 2013?
50 minutes.
Pass.
No. Who was your first wicket of the 2024 season?
Cashy Fally.
Correct. Yes. What sponsor is on the front of the Warwickshire County Championship shirt?
Scrivens.
Correct.
Yes. When standing on their back legs, is a large brown bear smaller or taller than you?
Taller.
Yes.
Around 9 foot. How many events are on your testimonial website?
Oh my gosh.
You should know
just
this.
Just guess.
Right?
Four?
Yes.
Yes. What is the name of Warwickshire's two mascots?
Carmen and Hubert.
Yes. Correct.
Did I start?
Eight.
Did I go?
Top of the league.
Oh, the end. It's the end. I can't say I'll start, so I'll finish because I don't think I did. 8 runs.
Oh, I'm happy with that. That's the most I've scored all year.
Top of the league.
That's fabulous.
That might well be the most runs I score all year, so I'm happy with that.
I've just realised, Jack, we've still not thought of a prize. I'm getting tired of this now. For any producers
we'll drum
listening,
up something special, won't we?
Please, can this be on the next planning list?
Well, if it, under the lid, so what about a baseball cap and under the lid?
A personalised one from Ben Duckett.
Yeah.
Duckett's bucket.
I'm not sure everyone would want one of those, but
I'm getting slated on the chat. Anyway,
OHD, mate, we can let you go. You go and play golf now, mate. But thanks so much for coming on. You've been unbelievable, as predicted. Well done for the start you made to the year, mate. Really good luck with your testimonial year. You deserve it, bud. And I hope it's really fruitful and successful and enjoyable. And I really look forward to seeing you soon on the circuit, mate.
Perfect. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Lovely to meet you, Ollie. What a legend.
What a man. What a man.
Very clued up. I'm so glad I've got to meet him. I'm meeting so many male cricketers, it's not even funny. They're coming out of my ears.
Have you never met him before, even when he was at Yorkshire years ago?
Mate, we literally don't run into any cricketers ever. I think the 100... was the best interaction I've ever had with any men's cricketers ever. Even like in the first 10 years of playing for England, I'm not sure I met another England men's player. Maybe just at the PCAs, like...
Hang out of order. I only ever used to see you at Yorkshire End of Season Awards when you probably battered at the bar. You don't remember anything anyway.
Exactly.
Well done this
Maybe me and you have actually had a few convos, but not...
We definitely have, but we just can't remember. Right. Feedback. What feedback have we had? Katie Levick very kindly gave us a good hashtag this week. Hashtag diamonds aren't forever.
Diamonds aren't
for
forever.
Funeral for the diamond side. We'll have to get that pumping all summer. Hashtag get Brunty skips. Campaign underway, but not much traction yet.
Oh, no skips. That is so sad. Skips? Well, I'll happily have McCoy's steak ones. They're nice. Have we literally got no feedback? Because it's just so sad.
We've had no fan mail this week. We could have made some up to look popular.
We've got
no
fans, but that's fine. Because
but we do
enjoyed...
love reading it when we do get it, don't we?
We do. But that meant that we could talk to Ollie for forever. So, and he had great chat. We were worried about his chat, but he had great chat. So.
Never doubt.
But yeah, if you do want to get in touch, leave feedback of any kind, guys, or even just maybe add to the hashtags. That's always good. And it's hashtag under the lid or hello at underthelid.co.uk.
Yeah, and now it's back to the day job for us all. Right, I've got to go back and look after the sick baby, I reckon. That's going to take up my next few days. I'm with Surrey on Thursday and Friday, so I'm back at the Oval, which will be good. And then we'll see what happens over the weekend with the weather. I might actually be able to play some cricket.
Yes, I'll probably be a pint of blood down as I'm giving blood on Sunday. and hopefully a few platelets. So, guys, if you don't give
good
blood,
luck with that.
Give blood. But if not, if you're playing cricket the next day, obviously. So.
Well, good luck with that, brother. And thank you for everyone for listening and getting under the lid. Feels like this has dragged on forever, but we do need your support. So please subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your friends. And keep saying how great it is online. And we'll see if we can make this better for you week on week.